All right, so I want to share this little message. It's a similar thought we looked at during the wedding. The thought is called God Save the King. Hey, you are doing good. God bless you for that. Let us go to 2 Kings chapter 11. Yes, and we want to look at this story. And we want to see what we can learn from it. This is a story of a king who could have been murdered, but someone took the initiative to save the king, to protect the king. Now, here is something. Let us read 2 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. Now, let us start from verse 1. And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. Let us explain something about those things we have read. Who was Athaliah? Here the word of God tells us that this woman Athaliah was the mother of Ahaziah. So this woman Athaliah was the mother of Ahaziah. So who is Athaliah? Who is Ahaziah? Athaliah was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel.
Athaliah is the mwana mkazi wa Jezebel
and Ahab.
And Ahab.
Now we all know who Jezebel is.
Jezebel is a
That was a very bad woman, right?
In the mkazi woipa.
When you read the Bible. Jezebel was a kind of a woman who really was very controlling of her husband. You know the story. What she decides, the man does it. Not only that, the Bible says Jezebel killed people of God, prophets. You know, she was a power woman. Now, what is interesting here, when Jezebel had a daughter, the daughter became just like her. Because here what we are reading is this woman
Athaliah
was the daughter of Jezebel. Now Athaliah had a son. So that makes that son whose name was Ahaziah. That means Ahaziah was a grandson to Siwangi. Yes. That means Ahaziah was a grandson to Jezebel. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now see, when her son died, he was killed. Athaliah, the mother to that king, She didn't want anyone to succeed him. She wanted herself to become the ruler. So what did she do? She started killing all those who could have become kings, including those who were children of Ahaziah, those who could have possibly become a king. She wanted to kill anyone, whether it was a grandson or anyone. She wanted to kill anyone who could have become king. Can you see the same character of Jezebel is in her? Are you seeing that? The mother was wicked. Jezebel, although she had a husband who was a king, Jezebel wanted to be the one controlling in the background. So, it is no surprise why Athaliah, as a daughter, grew up like that. The daughter just became like that. So there's something we can learn here. What you become as a human being is a result of what kind of an environment you are in. So you can see Athaliah. Where did she get that from? She's just like her mother. And so when her son dies, she begins to kill anyone who can become king. And so she killed different people. But we see a courageous act by someone. Her name was Jehosheba. When this woman started killing anyone who could become king, there was another woman who was so different from
Athaliah.
Her thinking was different. Hey, there will always be a person like that, right? They can grow up maybe even in the same family, but he thinks or she thinks differently. So there was this woman, Jehosheba. She also grew up in this family of Ahab. She was, as a matter of fact, the aunt she was the aunt to this young boy we're about to look at. In other words, she was the sister to the king who was killed. The king who was killed. In other words, she was also the daughter of who? Jezebel, right? Are you following the story? Are you following the story? We are seeing
Athaliah.
She comes from Jezebel. We also see, what's her name again? Is it Jehosheba? From the same family stock. But look at what Jehosheba did when she saw her sister. Usurping power. Killing people. Killing anyone who can become king. Jehosheba looked at that. And although the environment was evil, she knew that the person who is supposed to be king, according to the law, is this child. But you know, it was a very small child. Very small child, helpless. Very little boy. So what will happen? She had to make a decision. You need to know whatever situation you find yourself in, to which your eye has become a witness, you have the responsibility. Because Jehosheba had an option. She would have kept quiet and said, wangakupa ireko na iwe. Isn't it? She would have said, there's nothing I can do. The other woman is more powerful. She could have done that. Is that what she did? No.
Yeah.
Look at verse 2. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain. And they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. Now, you see, Jehosheba got this little child, including the maid, because she knew he's still a baby. So I'll need a girl who can be feeding her, who can be feeding him. So she got the maid, the one who used to look for the after the child, and got the child and got them away. The question is, where were they hidden? You see that in verse 3. If you have a Bible, you can read. And he was with her, hid, where? In the house of the Lord 6 years. Did you see that? Hid in the house of the Lord 6 years. And Athaliah did reign over the land. So it was actually a very young child, because he was revealed when he was 7 years old. So that means when he was hidden, that's around the time he was born. He was around, he was in his first year, right? Very helpless little child. So, but this Jehosheba got a maid, got this child, hid them. Where? In the house of the Lord. Now, here is something, brethren. We are looking at what influences the way you think and the way you do things. Number one, we said influence of the environment. When you look at Athalia, what made her like that? You can see the same behavior which was in her mother, Jezebel, it's in her. You can see a logical link there, that the environment, the behavior of the mother, put something in her. Look at Ahab. Ahab was a wicked king. He was a wicked king. His son, this one who was killed, he was a wicked man. So you can see the one who was killed, actually the one who was the grandson, rather, the daughter of Athaliah, the son of Athaliah. He was a wicked man, the one who got killed. But that man who was killed had this son, Joash. Now, if I were to ask you, if this man who was killed, Ahaziah, if he had lived without being killed, and Joash had grown up under him, what would have been the chances that Joash would have been a reasonable, God-fearing man? If there's such a thing as a chance, we would say very low chances. Is that so? Because you can see it in the children of Ahab, the grandchildren, they're wicked people. But here is something different which happens to Joash. Joash was stolen to protect him from being killed. And this woman, the aunt to Joash, she stole him, and he ended up being kept at the temple. Now watch the strict instructions which were given at the temple. The priest took over. This woman, Jehoshiba, she did her work. She was no longer involved. Presented the child to the priest. The priest took the child. The nurse. And they hid them in the temple. Now in the temple, this was a sacred place. It's not like a church building, the way we are here. It had protocol. A woman can't minister there. It has to be a priest. And it's not every Jim and Jack who becomes a priest. There was a particular tribe where a priest comes from. And that temple, people can backslide out there. But people who are supposed to be in the temple are supposed to be consecrated. Can we agree that Jehoshiba found the right place to hide Joash? That was the right place, isn't it? So Joash was taken, hidden there. But now, you don't just take Joash and leave him there to say, ankareko kuno kuchecha. I think kuno alisef. No, because Joash is a baby. He can easily walk out again and expose himself to danger. Is that right? Now, do you know that every human being who comes in this world has a choice? Including your child who seems to be unwise because he's very young, even if kakalaba, it has choice. But you don't expose that choice before you take care of it. You don't just aenda kukendo, you just lift him. You, even when one is a baby, there is choice. But we don't give freedom to that choice because it has no information. We don't give freedom to that choice because it has no information. So, when the child is born, it lies down. It just lies on the back. But then later on, you know that it needs to know how to sit up. Then you begin to teach it a few things. You can only guide, but there's a desire inside that living creature. It will see something interesting. It wants to crawl. Azafuna akarawe achigwire chija chindu chamine chamuamiza. Meaning there is something muri kufuna funa namo muri mwana. Sima amen. Chija chofuna azaenda akola azambo ziva mosebenze serampamvu yakusanka pamena enda akola. Amen. But you are there to guide. Say, don't do this.
Ulipaja kusanka apo utatia usachita ichi.
You are there to guide.
Ulipaja kumulangiza njira.
As the child grows,
mwana pia kula.
It begins to interact with the environment based on the information you are exposing it to. So here is Josh. The woman knew he needs to be protected. And she knew the place of protection is the temple. So now she did not just get him and put him in the temple and say, yeah. See what you can do with him. No, the priest took up the raw. Vansembe. Vanatenga janchito manje kupitiriza. Kuona kuti tizamu teteza bwanji. Kapena tizamu punzisa bwanji uyumwana. So now, in verse 3. And he was with her hid in the house of the Lord 6 years, and Athaliah did reign over the land. Now look at verse 4. Shall we read? And the seventh year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds. Now, okay, before we do this, I want us to go to the instructions which were given on how to protect this child. Verse 5. And he commanded them, saying, this is the thing that you shall do. A third part of you that enter in on the Sabbath shall even be keepers of the watch of the king's house. And a third part shall be at the gate of Saul. And a third part at the gate behind the guard. So shall ye keep the watch of the house, that it be not broken down. And two parts of all you that go forth on the Sabbath, even they shall keep the watch of the house of the Lord about the king. Now, you see what they're doing?
And one of what she does.
They've put people to guard the priests, to guard the king. Because they don't want the secret to go out. So he says, some priests will be guarding the door. Others will be guarding another door. So that no one comes to where the king is. Now here's something interesting in verse 7. This was a young child, 7 years old. 6 years old.
7 years.
But did he say protect the child? Is that the language they use? What did they say? Protect who? Hello? Protect the king. Enze wachepele, enze mwana, but mukukamba, mukupasa my instructions. Wanakamba kuti mumuchite protect mfumu. Sana kambia ati mumuchite protect mwana. Protect the king.
Ati mchingirize mfumu.
But now, this is a child.
Ati ni mwana.
He doesn't know how much power he holds.
Sazo ni mpamu zingati zani nazo.
But these people did not take advantage of that. Those men could have taken advantage of the boy. Say, he's young. They would not have followed orders. But they said, no. Protect the king. Who is this king? There he goes, playing around. Because he was a child, right? Do we agree he was a child? And a child plays like a child. Isn't it? Protect the king. Who is the king? There he is playing with the toys. They were not looking at the present. They were looking at the office. They were aware the little child is growing. And the defense and the protection of the country was in that little child. And now look at this instruction. Verse 8. And ye shall compass the king round about. All you soldiers, all you people to protect him, you should encompass around him. Every direction needs to have protection. Don't leave a vulnerable spot. And ye shall compass the king round about, every man with his weapons in his hand. And he that cometh within the ranges or the radius, you kill that person. Because it was protecting the king, right? If someone just comes, say, I have something. No. Stay where you are. No, if they come within the radius, kill them. That was a very brutal instruction, right? Now, do you know that when soldiers are given an instruction, they need to obey it as it's been given? If, for example, you are just briskly walking towards the president, or hey, you see how quickly they'll handle you up. If you try to persist or you show any form of harm in trying to injure, you'll be killed on the spot. Right? So now they said, every direction, protect the king. Who is this king they are protecting? It's a young child. But in that young child is a will. The will for the kingdom. You know, in a kingdom, in a monarch, the will, the direction, every aspect of the kingdom is in the hands of the king. No, not the kind of kings we have today. We're talking of real monarchs as they used to be in the ancient times. So when you kill a king of a country, that country is gone. So you protect the king. But see, that time there was an evil woman. She was ruling the country. But a few people knew. We saved the king. We saved the king. We are just waiting for him to grow, for him to take power. Then this woman will be killed. Praise God. They watched over the king. Verse 11, and the guard stood, every man with his weapons in his hand, round about the king, from the right corner of the temple to the left corner of the temple, along by the altar and the temple. Now, there came this day, when he was 7 years old, they said, it's time to reveal the king now. They called all the people, you know, those who blow the trumpets, the soldiers and everything. They were invited to the temple. Now, you know what they did? They brought the king. 7 years old. They did two things to the king. One, they took the crown. A crown is what shows this is where power is. They took the crown, put it on Joash. Do you know the second thing they did? They took the crown. What's the other thing they gave him? Who've read that story? What's the second thing they gave him? They put a crown on him. There's another thing they put in his hands. Swangi, you're still thinking? Two things. They put a crown on him. What was the second thing? Let's read it. Verse 12. And he brought forth the king's son and put the crown upon him and gave him the testimony. The testimony are the Ten Commandments. The stones where the Ten Commandments were written. Put the crown on him and gave him what? The testimony. And they made him king. And anointed him, and they clapped their hands. And they said, let's say the words, God save the king. Yeah. You've seen this said, is it in the United Kingdom? God save the king. That's where it comes from. You see, friends, the thing which crowns your human experience, the thing which crowns your life, It's the ability to choose. The ability to decide. That's what makes you different from an animal. It's the most sacred thing in you to choose. You know what you are today is not an accident. You are a sum total of decisions you make every now and then. What you are? You are a sum total of decisions you make. By God's grace, we are in His presence today. We know there's a thing called election. But even within the framework of election, you had to repent. You had to make a decision, right? The Bible says, this day when you hear His voice, do not harden your heart, right? Oh, everyone that is thirsty, come! Without money, without price. You needed to hear the word and make that decision. And by the grace of God, you gave your life to Christ. One thing is certain. God can never force you to repentance or to anything. That is why the word of God says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That statement tells me there is a possibility for you to grieve, for you to suppress the Spirit of God in you. He can tell you, walk this way, and you can choose to walk another way. Right? Remember the experience of Brother Branham? In South Africa. Quite an interesting case. God told Brother Branham, the place you have to go to is Durban. But you remember what the church committee said? You know, Durban had a lot of blacks, natives. But it's these people, our white brethren, who are handling Brother Branham. And you know the history of South Africa. Blacks had places where they had to be. Whites had a place where they had to be. And blacks were backward, the natives, poor, illiterate. And the white folks felt there was a better way to utilize Brother Branham's visit in South Africa by going to these places where people were civilized. They had the stadiums, they had the hotels. They wrote an itinerary for Brother Branham. From here, he will speak there, he will speak there, he will speak there. And all the places was places where whites were. You see God's program and man's program? When the prophet was going to South Africa, what did God say? Go to Durban. Who was in Durban? The blacks. I'm not saying God was favoring the blacks. But here is something you can't refuse. God finds it easier to work among a people who are simple. The people you call ignorant, the people you call illiterate, it's very easier for the voice of God to reach them. Because many times what we think is civilization and we call it education, it actually many times educates man away from the truth of God. Yeah. So when God sent the prophet to South Africa, He wanted him to go a certain place. And now Brother Branham found himself in conflict. The reverends, these clergy people, they said, Brother Branham, this is the program. Says, when are we going to Durban? They really wanted to dodge away from that. Says, no, but you see, you need to speak there first, you need to go there first. Says, what God showed me, I need to go to that place. They were ready for him, I mean, to cancel out that program. You can't go there. Until one day, Brother Branham was very upset. Said, can't you see we are not in the will of God? God's will, by vision and everything, if you ever believed me to be a prophet, I need to... This is, but Brother Branham, we already booked the stadiums, we already booked the hotels. He said, that doesn't matter. I'm telling you what God spoke to me and where I am supposed to be. They wanted to stick to their sacred itinerary. Until they were all quiet, says, we just need to stick with the program, Brother Branham. We can't go there. But here's something which was foolish. I can't remember who said this, whether it was Gordon Lindsay or someone else. Says, but Brother Branham, you know, there's also what is called the permissive will of God. Can't we follow the permissive will of God? That's not right. That's not right. Permissive will of God is a circumstantial thing. It should not be a desirable thing for any believer. Especially where you have an opportunity to do the right thing. And as they were driving, Brother Branham tells them to show you this thing we're doing is not the will of God. As we move, we are going to find this, we are going to see this, we are going to see that. And indeed, everything was sin. And he told them, have you seen what I told you? That girl with such and such a face, the bird, everything I told you according to vision? Yes. Did that make them change their minds and their hearts? No. And you, Brother Branham, had to say, can we stop? The convoy stopped. The vehicles packed. I think he took a branch from a tree, something like that. Threw it on the road. So I want to tell you, brethren, as we go past this, we are on our own. We are not in the will of God. Did that stop them? They were all quiet and they proceeded. Talk of stubbornness. That is why miracles, prophecy, they don't change or convert a person. They don't. Sometimes I'm praying and I'm thinking, the world saw the climax of the hand of God through the ministry of that humble man. And today, sometimes people pray, Lord, we need a revival, we need miracles. But God has seen it all. He has seen the worst a human being can do, even when he has displayed his power. So you can be in a hurry to see miracles, but history has enough witness and testimony of how stony-hearted the heart of man is. Those men saw the prophecy, visions confirmed, but they chose to stick to their program. You know what happened? Brother Branham got sick where he went. Amoebas attacked him. All along he was okay in South Africa. He got very sick. When they went for that meeting, people started coming. I think they put a tent there. And the weather changed. There was a huge, mighty wind to come to shake off the tent. Brother Branham looked at those ministers. What did I tell you? You think God is here? Ah, Brother Branham, can we pray God to help us? But you know, God is merciful. Brother Branham was praying, trying to seek God. Lord, what do I do? But here is something. God showed his mercy. But Brother Branham got sick. He got so sick, that sickness would have killed him. But when the prayer line came, He's saying, Lord, forgive me. But heal these people. And you know what? All those people were getting healed. But he wasn't getting healed himself. Are you seeing how merciful God is? Even when man moves out of his will, his power is still present to do something, right? But him couldn't receive the healing. That tells me something. All the time he was in South Africa, he was okay. Today you are in good health. Don't think it's by chance. There are so many things which can attack you, right? But God's blessing is upon us. He protects us. We may not feel it. We may not feel it. But let's be thankful for his protection upon us. Until later on now, when Brother Branham had his way now to go to Durban, miracles happened. The power of God was so great. These were poor, ignorant people. And Brother Branham was surprised. Blacks were put in one category. Whites in another category. He was just surprised of how foolish, you know, humanity is. But you know, these poor, ignorant men, when they stood before him, he still was able to see a vision and tell them. There's one vision which touches me. Here is a poor native. He says, I can see you. You are in a little, you know, these thatched houses. And on the wall, I can see the picture, an art picture of the Lord. The Lord that I worship, you know, the Lord God. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, can you imagine how the Spirit of God took him to see? Took note of a picture which was on the wall. Prayed for this man. And he received his healing. This man didn't go to school. But God cared for him. Praise the Lord. Now look at this. Will, choice, is very sacred. You have a choice to do what you wish. But you'll be judged for every choice you make. Don't take choice just as a gift to use in any way you feel like. Because with it, you can destroy your environment, you can do wrong things with it. But when it is entrusted in the hands of the one who made it, you say, Lord, thank you for this gift of choice. But you are love. You love me so much. And there's nothing you can do to harm me. Everything you do is out of love. Help me to make the right decision. When you do that, you are entrusting choice in the hands of him who made it. When you do that, it means you have fear. You have fear of your own self. Fear of your own choice. You say, I can't trust myself. Let me trust the greater mind which loves me. Lord, you know what is right for me. Even when it seems painful, you know what is right for me. Guide, help me, let me make the right decision. That is the fear of God. And the Bible says it is the beginning of wisdom. And it is wisdom, we all agree. Even a little child at home. Before he does anything, he says, no. Think, let me find out from my parents. You say that child is wise. He is aware of his limitations. But a child who feels he's grown up, he can do things his own style. Before he realizes, he finds himself in harm's way. You know, these men did great work. They were aware there's choice in this child, but it's not yet mature. We need to protect it. Where? In the house of the Lord. That's what the word of God says in verse 3. And he was with her, hid in the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord is where the untrained choice, the vulnerable state of the mind, they were taken to the house of the Lord. Amen. Now, no matter how old you are, before the Lord, we are all children. Right? For such is the kingdom of God. Amen. And so your mind, you are wise to say, today is midweek service, or today is Sunday, let me go hear the word of God. In the house of the Lord, we subject our minds to his word. We hear words of wisdom. We pray. We kneel. We say, Lord, help me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, give me wisdom. What is happening? That is Josh in the house of the Lord. For his will, his choice to be shaped. Now notice, when this Josh was put there, it wasn't a casual affair. There were swords guarding him. And they were told, anything which approaches, kill it. That's how our minds are supposed to be protected. Hallelujah. There's so much influence from television, from society, out there. But
Josh
was protected by those words. Anything which approaches, get rid of it. That's the environment we are in today, brethren. There is so much which is wanting to draw the attention of young people. You can even raise a child in your home. Do whatever you can. When they go out there, either friends or what they watch, what they talk among themselves, it takes their attention. And you know what is dangerous is society has broken the walls of the house of the Lord. They've broken the walls. People try to take Josh in the temple. But it's not a true temple. What they're trying to run away from, they find it inside. That's the situation, right? But there is a place where our true protection is. That is in the presence of the Lord. It's not a physical place. The secret place where we can hide from the evil system of Athaliah, from the evil system of Jezebel. It's in the word of God, in the name of the Lord. Walk closely with the Lord. And when you spend all your time in his presence, you seek him. You know what God will do? He will give you power to choose. Because he knows when he gives you that crown, that mind can make right decisions. A time will come when you are crowned. And that is what we are waiting for, the bride of Christ. That day when the voice of God will say, speak the word. And what we will speak, it will be in alignment with the will of God. That's the third pool anointing. It can't be granted until our choices grow and mature in the word of God. So you see, the child was given a crown and the testimony. The bride of Christ can't rule this world. It can't be given the crown until it grows and matures in discerning and in judging. Philippians 2 verse 13. We close with that. Philippians 2 verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Hey, that's a very powerful statement. It is God which worketh in you both to will. Can you imagine that privilege? Look at this privilege. You choose something, and it's actually God who has chosen it. It is God expressing himself through you. One has attained that level when they've reached that edge where the crown needs to be put on them. And that crown, it can never crown human flesh. It crowns God's will. It's a crown on a king. Who is this king? One who has surrendered and yielded everything in the care of God's will. Until his thoughts become an expression of God's testimony. When Sister Hattie Wright was asked, anything you wish, speak. Says, what do I say, Brother Branham? Anything. You are poor, you can ask for money. There's a sick person there. Something can happen, you know. You are just a poor widow. She looked around and said, my desire is to see my two sons get saved. You know, previously, these are children who were not saved. The mother was devout. But there they are, just jesting, you know. Having no heart for what their mother cherished. But she had a desire that her children can see the light and be saved. And the prophet said, I give them to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And right there and then, the Spirit of God touched them and they started crying. And they gave their lives to God, both her sons. And Brother Branham says, God gave her that privilege to say, speak what you wish. Because he knew she would ask the right thing. Even when she spoke it, she thought she was speaking out of her desire, out of her choice. But her heart was so surrendered to God until even what she spoke was an expression of the very mind of God. Shall we stand? So what do we say this evening? God serve the king. Amen. Right? You are a king. And my prayer is, God serve the king. What is king in you? That ability to choose. That ability needs to be served. If it is not served, it will make wrong choices. May God serve the king tonight. Shall we pray?